walking early Shabbos morning, and he heard an unusual Kol Torah that caught his attention, and he decided he wanted to investigate, see from where that beautiful sound is emanating from. And he traced it to a Beis Medrash, and he looks in and he sees an unusual sight. There's a soldier in full garb, learning. He didn't want to interrupt that soldier, so he waited and waited, and finally the soldier picks up his head, and the Beis Rav looks at him and says, "My Rav Yid, what are you doing here? It's early Shabbos morning, you're a soldier, like, what is it supposed to mean?" So he told him, "I'll tell you the truth, I've been drafted to the army, and I had one bakasha. I asked the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I should always have the schus to keep Shabbos, I shouldn't have to do melacha chas v'shalom on Shabbos. And amazingly as it seems, my commander gave me this request, he gave me Shabbos off, and I decided, if the Eibishter was so kind to me, let me reciprocate. And I decided I'm going to use the whole Shabbos to learn." And the Beis Rav listened, and he walked out, and he turned to his Talmidim and said, "The Chavmoira, I'm scared that this Yid is Ma'akiv de Geula." And they thought that they misunderstood what he was saying, Ma'akiv de Geula. And he explained that the Eibishter looks down on the world, and he says, "I'm going to bring a Geula. I'm going to bring a Geula, and I won't have this beautiful, this awesome scene of a Yid showing such a Havas HaTorah. How could I bring a Geula if I will lose this privilege?" "Are you going to say, but Beis HaMikdash is so important?" But the Gemara says, "Gadol Talmud Torah Yaisa Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash." But then the Beis Rav says, no, it can't be. It can't be that a Yid's learning will prevent Mashiach from coming. When I walked into here this morning, and I was thinking of the scene, the ambiance that I just encountered. This is the first Sunday we have off, and people have a lot to do, and to see such an awesome scene, such a beautiful Kiddush Hashem, people harving, understanding what the Rashiva just spoke about, Rishuya, it's just amazing. I don't know what's doing in Shemayim, but I have certainly that the Eibishter has an unusual nachas from this Gadol Talmud Torah. See Yidden take off time from a busy Sunday morning just to hear the Dvar Hashem. I want to thank you for letting me be part of this beautiful Kiddush Hashem. A special note of gratitude to the West Side Koilel, the Achsanya for this program, and for all those Oiskim B'tzorchei Tziva B'Emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalem Scharam. Avram Wolpin was very kind to me and did all the organization. And the Eibishter help, and we should continue to bring this Nachas to the Eibishter until we'll see the true Geula B'Karav. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky once told my Shver, and he quoted the Baruch Beh, "Meinisht ad the Americaner Rabbonim zen in klener from the Europeisha." Don't think that the American Rabbonim are inferior to those of the European Rabbonim. The tzore is, as you have in Shverer Shailas. The problem is they have more difficult Shailas. Today I would like to discuss, Bez Hashem, one category that I think fits that description. It's us on the American scene, on the Dor Achron, a shaila that we have, a very shvera shaila, which is negeya to many or most people on a weekly basis. There was always a time, there were Yidden that were shame Shabbos, and there were Yidden that unfortunately were not equal to the challenge, and they were mechalel Shabbos, and they kept business open on Shabbos. Today, with the advance of technology, we see an unusual precedence that perhaps we haven't seen in Golis. Today we see a scenario that a person is fully Shayim Shabbos, and yet he could do business like usual if he wants on Shabbos. It began when they invented an answering machine. What is an answering machine? You don't want to miss a customer. You don't want to miss a message. So you leave your answering machine, and that records the message, and after Shabbos, you could make up for lost time. We got a little more sophisticated. We have a fax. You don't have to listen to the order. It's not tedious as listening to the order. You have the fax, you have the order in front of you, and right after the Zman, you could fill the order. And then we have a website, which is even more so. Website, we know people do business. I know people that tell me they don't go shopping anymore. Everything is through the web. In fact, you should know this is the reality, not yet in all places, but it's in big companies. Someone places an order over the web, and it's fully automated. It receives the order, it packs the order, and it puts it onto the truck from the order till the truck. Baruch Hashem, the truck is not run by automation at this point. But definitely we have a scenario. You could order something and it's filled and it's sent on Shabbos. And then we have something, I guess, a little more sophisticated. We have eBays. eBays, as we all know, a person could either sell or buy through an eBay. He places an order, he places his bid, or he puts up his item for sale, and then he sits on Shabbos, and he sings Miris, and he learns, and he davens, and it's very possible that he's selling his item on Shabbos, or he's buying his item on Shabbos. A person could be receiving an order on his website or on his fax machine, and just then he starts to sing his Miris, and he hears the order coming in, and he starts singing with more gusto, with more slavis. He just made a few $100, and he's happy. How does Halacha view such a phenomenon? A person is fully shayim the Shabbos, and he's doing nothing. This is the issue. And if you have imagination, you could go a little further. Vending machines, today lotteries are drawn on Shabbos. There are banks that give interest and compound daily. People earn money per day. Shabbos and Yom Tov is no different. They're earning money on Shabbos. And how about if I want to call to Eretz Yisrael? I mean, this is the gate to probably any businessman on Friday afternoon. It's 4 o'clock, way before Shabbos. And he calls or he faxes to Shabbos. He faxes to Eretz Yisrael or overseas, the Orient. And he's calling to a place where it's Shabbos. His fax reaches a place where it's Shabbos. How do you understand that? I'm standing here in Brooklyn. My fax reaches Eretz Yisrael where it's Shabbos. Is that Chilul Shabbos? That's the question. So let us be very clear before we begin. Whenever a guy is working on our behalf, that, of course, is a different issa amir la'akam. And I'll give you a very simple example. We're speaking about answering machine. Answering service, a doctor, a lawyer, many people have answering service, they have a human being picking up the phone for you, and he answers the phone and he takes messages. If I have to hire an answering service on Shabbos, that's undoubtedly a problem of amir la'akam. After all, I'm hiring a guy to work on my behalf. That's no different than if I tell a guy to do malacha for me. Answering service, or any time a guy is involved, is a different subject, which is not for today. Additionally, which is a very painful thought to even think about, but many people that have businesses that involves irreligious Jews, so we run into a very painful question of Lifnei Iva. After all, my fax is open. Okay, so I'm doing nothing. But then again, my associate, my customer who's Jewish, will place an order on Shabbos. So my allowing the machine to be on makes it available for him to do malacha. That certainly runs into the general question of Lifnei Iva. Don't do anything that enables a Jew to violate Shabbos. But that's a different subject. Amir La'akim is one subject. Lifne'iv is one subject. I'd like to zero in on this question. And to give this our full attention, I am doing nothing. A guy is not involved. A yid is not involved. All I'm doing is I'm setting up my fax, my answering machine, my eBay before Shabbos, and the rest goes automatically. Is that considered a violation of Hilchas Shabbos or not? So in logic, it doesn't seem to be very troubling. What am I doing? I'm sitting home, I'm learning and I'm davening. My machine is doing malacha. So go talk to my machine. What do you want from me? And you want to be a lamdan, you could say the well-known tshuva, the Chassam Sofer says, the Beis Meir says this, there's no din of shlichus on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, the ikki is, your guf has to be shavis, your body has to rest, has to refrain from malacha. And that's precisely what I'm doing. I'm going to shul, and I'm davening, and I'm learning, and I'm doing nothing. My machine is acting on my behalf, but my guf is still keeping Shabbos, so what do you want from me? Now, I'd like to add a point. You might say, but one second, you're not doing anything, but you're causing something to happen. You're setting up the situation that your fax could do the order, or your eBay could do something. So why isn't that minimally a question of grammar? I'm causing a malacha to take place. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf, says there's an issur d'rabbanan to cause malacha to take place. So why isn't that the problem in our subject? I'm causing malacha to take place. But that's a tayyiz. That's a silly mistake. The issur of grammar is on Shabbos. I do something that causes malacha to take place. The Gemara says the case, I put a barrel of water next to a fire, and the heat of the fire causes the barrel to burst and extinguish the flame. That's grama. I did something on Shabbos that causes the malacha on Shabbos. Our questions are, you've set up the facts and the internet, Erev Shabbos. What's wrong? Excuse me? Okay, we'll get to that. Thank you. But basically, we could say, if we could quote the words of David HaMelech, Tzadik Ma Po'al, what do you want from me? I am keeping Shabbos, so who cares about the rest? So basically, we could reduce all these questions and say it's not a question. And then again, let me give you something to think about, food for thought. Did anybody ever consider Erev Shabbos going out in front of your house and closing up your mailbox, or uprooting your mailbox if you have one in the front, because the guy will put the mail there on Shabbos? Did anybody consider unplugging your telephone because the guy might call you on Shabbos, he doesn't know your shame is Shabbos? Why not? The terrors is, Sadik Ma Pa'al, I'm okay. What do you want from me? So why all of a sudden is eBay and an internet so much more threatening? And in fact, this seems to be a Mishnah. You should have it, the booklet in front of you. That's page 4. The Mishnah in Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis has a very, very important concept in Hilchas Shabbos. And to make a long story short, the question is a very fundamental, a very incisive question. If I do something on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos, the malacha takes place, is that a violation of Hilchas Shabbos? I did it Erev Shabbos, the malacha continues into Shabbos, is that a violation of Hilchas Shabbos? Beis Shammai is of the opinion that it is. And I'll give you a very simple example. I will not use the Mishalim of the Mishnah, I'll tell you something that we could relate to much more commonly. You put up a challan Erev Shabbos, that's raw. You get stuck in traffic, you got to the mountains late, you put up a raw challan Erev Shabbos right before this man, you have a blech and everything sounds fine. But lemaisa on Shabbos, it's cooking. Beis Shammai feels, since malach is taking place, that's awesome. That's called shvisas kalim. Not only you shouldn't do malacha, but your properties, your kalim, are also prohibited from doing malacha. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hillel holds, shvisas kalim is not an issue. Your kalim can in fact do malach. So therefore, we paskin like Beis Hillel, understandably. You could put up a raw challenge right before this man. On Shabbos, the malacha takes place. That's of no consequence to you. Shvisas kalim is mutter. And that's the halach in Siman Reish Nun Beis. No, if so, why don't we say the same is true with our group of questions? You say, if you set up, if you set up the facts on Shabbos, so that's grama, of course. But we're talking about, presumably, you're doing it Erev Shabbos. Why isn't that a regular, simple application, a modern-day application of Shvisas Kelim, which we paskin is mutter? And I'll give you something, again, that we could appreciate it. When they invented, I thought this is a far cry of our more sophisticated timer, but they, about 150 years ago, the Shaila Meshev and Achuvan Aleph Hei, Tanyana Aleph Hei, Maram Shikin Kuf Nun Zayin, they had a cliche, Sheyesh Lei Veker. Now basically that was the primitive timer. You set it up Erev Shabbos, and somehow Malacha took place on Shabbos. So the G'dayli Oilam, the Shaila Meshev, Maram Shik said, that's okay. I, Malach, is taking place on Shabbos. Shvisas Kelim is Mutta. This is an application of Shvisas Kelim. If so, our group of questions, the wide spectrum of the modern technology, and again, I'm referring to answering machines and internets and all of these, the Chayr is Mutta. Now, you might want to say, one second, there's one problem. Because in the answering machine, like this Yid asked, in the answering machine, my voice gets on, and only like I could do with my charming voice, please leave a message, we would like to hear from you. And that excites the person, the customer, oh, I got to give a message. So why isn't that like a mir la'akam? I'm telling the guy to leave a message, it's my voice. Everything else is okay, but this I'm telling him on Shabbos. The answer is Pashit. Nu Rabbi says it's Pashit. I did it Erev Shabbos. What do you want from me? My charming voice is on Erev Shabbos. I on Shabbos, the machine does it. So talk to the machine. That's not me. If I myself tell him, you know what, I can't talk to you now. Leave a message. Do what you want. Put an order in my mailbox. That's a problem. But with the machine, l'chayr, it's not a problem. Excuse me? That's what I'm saying. That's why it's all a problem. So the chayr we started late as it is. I don't know if we have a time restraint. I'd like to finish first. So, I mean, who's the organizer here? Can we leave questions at the end? Otherwise, we're never going to finish. So here we have the chayr, a simple halacha l'maisa. All of our cases are mutta because it's shvisas kelim, which is mutta. And taka Rav Ozna. In the tshuva, paskins, the answering machine is okay because it's shvisas kelim. Now, in a later tshuva, in a subsequent tshuva, in chelik ches, he does point out answering service. I strongly object because answering service really, effectively, I'm hiring a guy to work for me. That's amir la'akam. But if it's all fully automated, the chayra halacha does not object. However, we come to one of the beauties of this sugya. There's a fact that really impacts this whole sugya, and that is, you're right, Shvisas Kelim is Mutta. There's nothing to talk about. But in our group of questions, which deal primarily with doing business, we encounter a different consideration. There is a very broad Issa based on the Mishnah in Beya Daf Lamed Vav that's called Issa Mekach Umemka on Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch and Shin Vav Siv Gimel, the Mechaba records this as normative halacha. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Pesach gives an interesting example. A person forgot to sell his chametz before Pesach. Can he sell it on Pesach? Can he sell it on Shabbos? Zog the Mishnah Berurah, you're not allowed to. You can't sell. You cannot buy or sell on Shabbos. I'll say, but I'm in a predicament. I'm owning chametz. But Allah is Allah, you can't buy or sell on Shabbos. The general is Mekach Umemka on Shabbos. Then we have something even more restrictive. Even if you do nothing, even if the person is fully passive, he's inactive, he does nothing, there's an individual Issa called Tzchar Shabbos. That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that's the Mechaba in Shin Vav. A person is not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. The example is, a person could give a shir, he could be a chazin, he could tutor, And if he earns money on Shabbos, that's the general list of Schar Shabbos. And this, of course, is a problem. Those that have money in the bank, they're earning money on Shabbos. Schar Shabbos. Now, generally, Rav Moshe Netshuva does point out, generally, most interests are not paid per day, it's per month, or whatever the agreement is. So you're not making money specifically for Shabbos. But Rav Moshe does have a tshuva, and he says, but let's say you're earning money on Shabbos. How is that? People have compound daily that pay you per day. Every day you earn X amount of dollars. So Rav Moshe was asked, how could you keep that money? Schar Shabbos. So Rav Moshe points out, of course, correctly, that really, invariably, every time you have money earned on Shabbos, it's really, part of it is not Shabbos. Because the Goyish Bank does not work with Shkia till Tzeis. What is Shabbos? Saturday. Saturday morning till Saturday night, right? Saturday night is not Shabbos. So part of Shabbos is Matzoi Shabbos. I'll say Friday. Okay. But part of Friday, of course, is Friday. So there is no one entity, there's no one day that's exclusively Shabbos. But Rav Moshe cautions, and we just had it in Shavuos, let's say you have Shabbos and Yom Tov that go one after the other. Like this year, Friday was Shavuos and Shabbos was Shabbos and Shavuos. So there is one complete day that from beginning till the end is Kulay Kadosh. And that this year was Friday. Friday morning was Shavuos, Friday night was Friday. So Rav Moshe, that's a problem of Schar Shabbos. Because you're earning money exclusively on a day that's Kodesh Lashem. So Rav Moshe Taki says, you can't have enough of the money. But Rav Moshe, the point is, we see something that's alarming. You're doing nothing, you're fully passive, earning money on Shabbos is in itself an Issa. Schar Shabbos. And then we know there's a very general Issa of making a Kinyan on Shabbos. You can't make Kedushin, you can't receive a present, you want to give a mitzvah boy a present, the Poskim can recommend be maknit him before Shabbos. But making a Kinyan on Shabbos is an Issa of itself of Kinyan on Shabbos. So now we have to rethink. All of our questions, the Chayra, are a violation of Mekech U'Memka. You have your eBay, you have your fax, your internet, whatever it may be, but you're doing, you're making Kinyan on Shabbos. Ah, you'll say, Tzadik Ma Pa'al, what did I do? I'm doing nothing. But we showed, Schar Shabbos is Asa, Kinyan is Asa. And the truth is, this question took on a sense of urgency when they first invented vending machines, we're going back over 100 years ago. But vending machines, ad hayayim hazeh, is a very common question. I don't know if the Olam appreciates this. There are many people that own vending machines, and they have in Goyish neighborhoods. People have apartment buildings, they rent to Goyim, and they don't want to have the Goyim have the wash and dryers in the building. So they put it, they have a basement, they have a laundromat in the basement, and they put wash and dryers. They're making money, right? It's their vending machine. It happens to be a laundromat. I'm always a little uneasy. In our camp, of course, they're all Shomrei Shabbos, and they have a soda machine, but there are probably a dozen Goyish workers on the premises, and they buy soda on Shabbos. So they put a dollar in the machine, and the owner of the machine just earned a dollar. So there you have vending machines in our times. And the question is, if owning a vending machine, is that a violation of Mekech U'Memka? Is that Schar Shabbos? How do we view that? So the truth is, if you think about it objectively, why isn't it an issue? Let's assume I have a vending machine and on Pesach I want to sell chametz. And it's all Goyim, I have some kind of Goyish neighborhood. Is that a problem? Of course it's a problem. Because I'm earning money because of chametz. I'm selling Yisuri Hana. Of course it's a problem. Or better yet, I'll illustrate it even further. Let's say, Chalila, a person decides to buy a soda on Shabbos. He forgot. Whatever the reason is, he had no justification. He wants to buy a soda on Shabbos. Is that Mekech U'Memka? Of course it is. If buying is asa, so conversely, selling, mekach u'memer, is the same idea. And this is why the earlier poskim did object to owning a vending machine on Shabbos. Minimally, we're talking about mekach u'memer on Shabbos, and perhaps char Shabbos. However, most poskim do not consider that an issue. And it's interesting, why not? The Marashag in Etshuv in Chelik Beis Kuf Yud Zayin was also asked, he called it an automat, which is a vending machine. And the Marashag almost ridicules the question. And says the Marashag, what's the problem? The machine is doing malach on Shabbos, but I'm okay. That's a typical case of Shvisas Kalim. My Kalim are doing malacha. We Paschal like Beis Hill, that's mutter. And he says emphatically, it's no problem. We Paschal like Beis Hill. And then he adds, we know, and generally, whenever things take place on Shabbos, there's always a concern of Maris Ayin. That people, Mechaba says that in Reish Nun Beis, if a guy walks out of your house on Shabbos carrying a box, it's Maris Ayin, people think you sold him on Shabbos. Zokta Marshag, quite amusingly, how are you going to convince me that a vending machine is Maris Ayin? And he writes it in these words. Does anybody think that the Yid is sitting in the bottom of the machine and tossing up the soda or tossing up the cookie that are being sold? No one thinks the Yid is there. So there's no question of Maris Ayin. What's your problem? It's Mekech u'Memek, it's Kinyan on Shabbos. Says the Marashag, who's making the Kinyan? What do you want from me? It's the machine. Shvisas Kalim is Mutta. And let's not forget, we paskin Shvisas Kalim is Mutta even by a Deraisa. Here, at most, it's a question of Kinyan. And the Marashag almost rejects the question, what's the issue? It's a regular Shvisas Kalim and his Mutta. The Minchas Yitzchak and the Tshuva also considers the option of permitting a vending machine. And he says, what about Schar Shabbos? You're earning money, a dollar a soda. So he quotes a famous Neidib Yehuda. Neidib Yehuda says that Schar Shabbos is only asa if it's complete earning. A person sings, a person speaks, a person does things, services. So the money is fully Schar Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Yehuda feels if you sell something on Shabbos, that's not the issa of Schar Shabbos. Because whatever item you sold, part of it you have to pay for. Right? Whatever you paid for it, and then wholesale, but part of it you have to pay for. The additional profit, the Rabbi Yehuda says, is not Schar Shabbos. So now, I guess, we have to step back a moment. You're right. There's an issa mekach u'memka, there's an issa kinyan and Shabbos, char Shabbos, but that is only if I am doing something. And in all of modern technology, it's happening by itself automatically. It's not me. What do you want from my life? However, there's one more point that has to be considered. And who knows, Rabbi Yossi, who knows how much more and more this question will be nageya. You have to realize that technology is growing and advancing in unusual leaps and bounds. We have to be able to foresee the unforeseeable, and we have to be able to picture what really we can't imagine. But there's a concept here. Kiveiga has a very beautiful tshuva in Simen Kuf Nun Tes. Kiveiga questions the follows. We know you're not going to make a kinyan on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveiga questions, how about if I made the Kinyan Erev Shabbos, but for some strange reason I stipulated I want the Kinyan to be Chal, to take effect on Shabbos? We'll soon see how real and how vibrant and how alive this question is. I did the Maisa Kinyan Erev Shabbos. I went through the motions Erev Shabbos, but I put strings attached. I wanted the Kinyan to take fully effect on Shabbos. So Kiveiga declares, what's the issa? Maisa Kinyan, which Erev Shabbos is okay, or perhaps Chalais Kinyan? And when is the Chalais on Shabbos? So Kiveiga proves, almost proves conclusively, that the Issa is the Chalais as well. Even if the Kinyan takes place on Shabbos, it's us. Now you're probably wondering, why do we have to talk about this hypothetical academic question? Obviously, this question is real. Someone that Zaycha, he had a firstborn, and he has to make a pidyon haben. And his mazel, of course, is the first time he's doing it. I mean, every pidyon haben is the first time you're doing it. He realized he counted the calendar days. The pidyon haben is happening on Shabbos. Gevald, you can't make a pidyon haben on Shabbos. You know, I make a kinyan. So, b'kiveiga, we know the halach is, what do? You push it off. B'kiveiga recommends, why don't we remedy the problem? Go to the kohen erev Shabbos. Go through the motions of the pidyon haben erev Shabbos. But stipulate you want the kinyan, the pidyon, to take place on Shabbos. Now, when are you going to make the suda, one of the pictures? I'm not sure. Because, you know, we'll the pidyon haben is Shabbos. But you'll go through the whole motions erev Shabbos. And if Kiveiga says we don't do that, evidently, even if the kinyan takes place on Shabbos, it's us. The Ram Shikin Achuva also makes this real, and this is again to businessmen. You might recall a few years ago we had Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. It was a very confusing time because Shabbos was Erev Pesach, right? And the house was clean, everything was, we acted as if Friday was Erev Pesach. We burned the chametz Friday, everything was done Friday. When did we sell the chametz Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos? We sold it Friday. I mean, why not get a jump start, and why do you have to wait till the end? But then again, what do you have to do with these businessmen? They have a whole day Friday. Theoretically, you could sell chametz on Friday. It's not Erev Pesach after this man. It's Erev Pesach. I could sell my chametz. Why not? But how about a businessman? They talk about a full business day. A full Friday. You're talking about a year that makes a few thousand dollars every business day. Why should he sell the chametz Friday morning? The Yestemar Amshik, I have an Eitzah. Go to the Rav whenever you want and go through the motions and let the Kinyan be Chal on Shabbos. You'll make the Maisa Kinyan on Thursday or Friday, but the effect will take place on Shabbos and I could keep business a whole day Friday. Says the Maram Shik, you can't do that. Rabbi Kiveiga. Kiveiga says, even if the Chalois Kinyan takes place, it's a problem. That's the issue on hand. To make the Kinyan take place on Shabbos, even though the Maisa was Erev Shabbos, is in itself objectionable. So now we see something very threatening. Even if you do nothing, even if the full motions were done Erev Shabbos, if the Kinyan takes place on Shabbos, that is precisely the Issa, the way Rabbi Kiva Eger rules from this question. In fact, I saw in the Sharm Mitzvah Malacha, he was asked about a lottery. Now, even today, incidentally, the lotteries are drawn on Shabbos. So someone asked him if he's allowed to buy a lottery. Because you might win and you're making a Kinyan on Shabbos. So most people say, I'm not going to win anyhow, right? So why are you buying the ticket? You're buying to lose? Teretz, you might win, right? But let's say you do win. You can't take the money. That's irrational. So what's the justification of buying a lottery ticket? So he, Taka, says, you're right. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you win on Shabbos, you're making a Kinyan on Shabbos. That's a problem. Now, I don't know in what context, in what environment he wrote this in, but in our times, even if you do win on Shabbos, from winning until the Kinyan, there's a lot of legal motions, a lot of hurdles to overcome. So Bekitzit, there's no Kinyan on Shabbos. So if anybody does win, you could take the money because they hate. That I saw, and that's Pashit. But the point is that Bekiva Eger does introduce an eye-opener. Kinyan on Shabbos is us. Now I'm sure you're all wondering, I don't get this. You told me you're allowed to do Molacha Erev Shabbos if it takes place on Shabbos, Shvises Kalim is Mutter. That's the Gemara, that's the Shulchan Aruch. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Kiva Eger comes along, Kinyan is different. Why is Kinyan different? You're allowed to cook Chol Erev Shabbos, Molacha Deraisa you're allowed to do. Why all of a sudden Kinyan do you find problematic? I need not tell you, Rabbi Kiva Eger was Rabbi Kiva Eger. You know, the story is told, someone came to the Satmar Rav once, and he wrote a sefer, he's looking for a skama, The Sefer answered all of Rabbi Kivayegi's kashas. He added under his breath, I answered all the kashas except for three of them. Satmar Rav looked at it and says, ah, I see you only understood three Rabbi Kivayegi's kashas. You don't just reject Rabbi Kivayegi. But the question is, what's Takadi, the rationale of Rabbi Kivayegi? Everything else you'll have to do Erev Shabbos is okay. All of a sudden, Kenyan on Shabbos becomes problematic. So his Einikol the Ksav Seifa said, it's Pashit. Because the Issa is Gufa Kenyan. It's not an Issa Maisa Kenyan. The Issa is a transfer, a transaction. The Issa is the result, not the emotions. What I saw, which Mamash, you could almost feel the Bekivayegi's truth, the Avineza also, someone wrote to him, I saw Bekivayegi, I don't understand it. So Avinezer wrote back, look again, you'll see how postured it is. Everything else a person does Erev Shabbos, his involvement, his participation is finished. He sets up the chalent Erev Shabbos, right? Chalila, the person is nifta on Shabbos. So the chalent goes, everything goes, right? Zakti Avinezer, the one thing that a person is involved on Shabbos is kinyan. Because let's say the person that made the motions and he died. If you don't have a makne, you can't have a kinyan. Theoretically, the person dies, the kinyan does not take place. That's what Rabbi Kivayegi meant. Unlike every other action that begins Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos, kinyan, whether you like it or not, the person's participation is needed, is integral, is crucial for the completion of the kinyan. So you can't just wipe your hand and say, he's finished. He's not finished. The makna is an active participant, albeit passively. But his involvement is crucial for the culmination of the kinyan, and that's what Rabbi Kivayegi meant. So now we see Rabbi Kivayegi is still Rabbi Kivayegi. Now there are those that question Rabbi Kivayegi's premise, and for the Daf Yomi Yidin, for the Shas Yidin, you might appreciate a raya I saw the Beis Sha'arim proves, not like a Pekivayegi from a Gemara Sukkah. And what I'm always amazed how these Gedolim had Shas literally on their, they had the control of Shas on their fingertips from a totally different Sugi. The Gemara in Sukkah says about the confusion, the that they had when they used to take the Lulav and Esrog in Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Where were you to put your Lulav and Esrog before Shabbos? You'll put it in your corner and your lulav has a simon, right? You have the best lulav in the world. But 1,000 other yidn have the best lulav in the world. And what happened Shabbos morning? You came to find your lulav. You don't know which is yours. So the Gemara says what they did is they made an agreement that when you put it down, you almost agreed, whichever I pick up is mine. Everybody's maskim to come on that condition. Whatever you pick up is yours. So for Ek Debei Sharim, the Kenyan on Shabbos. So he considered that a raya, not like a Bekivayegi. Fine. I just want to tell you, there is those that question Bekivayegi. But my chinuch always was, I saw the Netziv writes this, a line, Netziv himself used to say this, a line of a Bekivayegi by me is worth more than many, many other gedolei achronim. So now, we're in trouble. Now we have extended, we have broadened this concept of Mekichu Memka. Not only passively is objectionable, but even a mere kinyan on Shabbos is awesome. However, if you rethink that, you would see that I believe that all of our cases, even Rabbi Kivayegi would agree is mutter. Now, how could I say that? The same Arshag that we mentioned earlier, that basically rejected the whole question, the Mashag then adds, how can I say that you're allowed to have a vending machine on Shabbos? I, Rabbi Kivayegi's question of Kenyan on Shabbos. Zokta Marshag, even Rabbi Kivayegi would agree a vending machine is mutter. Rabbi Kivayegi's problem was, if you make up on Friday with the Koyin, I'm giving you now, I want it to be Chal on Shabbos, that's precisely the question. Because you stipulate on Erev Shabbos that you want the completion of the Kenyan to take place on Shabbos, that's the question. A vending machine, you filled up the soda machine on Sunday, you didn't agree with the guy that he should buy it on Shabbos. because of that, even Kiva Ega would allow it. It's only when you made up before Shabbos that the Kinyan is exclusively taking place on Shabbos. Like the case of Mechiras Chometz, like the case of the Pidyon HaBen. And that's why he concludes that even with Rabbi Kiva Ege's objection, a vending machine is permissible. Nu, Rabbi Yisrael, let's talk tachlis. How about a website? You set up the machine whenever you do it. The way the Marshag understood it, that even Rabbi Kiva Ege's question was only when it was done to be chal on Shabbos. It seems to be poshut that even Rabbi Kiva Ege would agree that your website that receives an order, or your answering machine that receives an order, because it wasn't done exclusively on Shabbos, even Rabbi Kiva Ege would permit that. Think about this, okay? Imagine a person has a business and he has a customer, I guess a bit reckless, that sends him cash in the mail. And Shabbos morning, he receives a big envelope full of cash. Would anybody say that's Kinyan on Shabbos? Why not? Ah, you got the money. The answer is very simple. Getting the money does not mean the Kinyan took place. Kinyan taking place means, like we spoke before, the Pidyon HaBen takes place on Shabbos. Kinyan means legally the Kinyan, the transaction has been completed. Another consideration that I'd like to add to the website issue, even if your website receives an order, legally there is no transaction that took place. You could refuse the order, you could say, I'm out of stock. The mail, according to you, mail, when you get mail on Shabbos, is also Kinyan? Is there any lawyer here? When you receive an order with an internet, or the halacha follows the. If I want to be kind of. Right. Yeah, but first I'd like to differentiate. Throwing something in my chatz, the Kinyan is being kind of the thing. When I got the money, I have to take the money and I have to send it back to you. I have to agree to complete the Kinyan. Right. Okay. If you. Right. Okay, if you receive mail, money, cash on Shabbos, is that your Kinyan? If you don't want to, you don't want to be kind on Shabbos, right? Right, exactly. But even so, there has to be some type, even a Kinyan stumta has to operate. You can't just say, well, we agree and let's just, you know, happily ever after. I don't know what to do with the time. I don't mind talking, you know, maybe we should. Okay. So Rabbi Yisrael, this is, I did a lot of research, and you know, I asked people that are in this field. Legally, there is no Kinyan taking place on Shabbos. Halachically, we can't create a Kinyan because we want to make an Issa. When your website receives an order, do we look at that, forget about from a Goyish perspective, is that a Kinyan? Is that different than you got mail on Shabbos, a complete order that's put in an envelope? We're going to get to eBay in a second. That's why I don't believe Rabbi Kiva Ege would be of a concern in our question where it's basically no more than receiving an order. Rabbi Kiva Ege objected to the completion of an order. Websites, internet, fax machine is no more than receiving a potential order, which is a heaven-sent matana, but nothing more. What? I'm going to get that in a minute. Now, that's why basically website, I don't find to be a problem. Now, there is a possible scenario. People have, let's say, for example, a debit card where the money is actually transferred on the spot. You give your credit card and the machine, of course, processes it. That could be an issue because then the money is being transferred and legally if you took his money, you better pay up. But the truth is, at least currently, most, if not all, of these internets, on Shabbos certainly, this transfer is not possible simply because the banks are closed on Shabbos. So that's why this type of idea, for example, we would fill it with a debit card where the money is transferred on the spot, that is more than just a promise or an agreement. If the money is transferred, you have to really provide the customer. If the money is transferred, that's Rabbi Akiva Eger's problem. Now, this is why l'chayra, the internet currently should not be an issue. You'll ask, the Mechaber says, you're not allowed to be mechayiv yourself something on Shabbos. That's in Shulchan Aruch Shin Chafei Siv Ches. If I had more time, I would elaborate more elaborate about that. But actually being mechayiv yourself is part of a kinyan. But that has no shaychus to our subject. Because if I personally am mechayiv myself, that's the issue. Our question, it all leads to the original Shvisas Kalim. I'm not being mechayiv myself, it's the machine. What do you want from me? The machine is doing it. That's basically Shvisas Kalim. eBay is a very sticky issue. Now let me be very clear about this, okay? eBay, I'm sure you're familiar, I could either sell on an eBay, I could buy on an eBay, and our mazel, the auction takes place on Shabbos. eBay is much more troubling, because then, on Shabbos, if your bid wins, you have just bought an item. Now, I've given this share in the past, and I've received a lot of phone calls about it. Basically, there is a great confusion, even by Fruma lawyers, and I spoke to Fruma lawyers, that know Halacha and know the Metzius. eBay, assuming my auction, my bid wins, until I actually complete the kinyan, I go through the motions, is it mine right now, yes or no? That's the question. Like one lawyer told me, Keklera Chakira, is the pshat that if my auction won, it's mine, but I could back out? The truth is, you could back out. Of course, there's a lot of negative feedback, and you're going to pay a price if you back out. But basically, with the eBay, I could back out. Is the pshat that Kenyan is chal, but I have the option of backing out at a cost? Or maybe, since I could back out, is the raya the Kenyan didn't take place? Until I finalize it and I accept that the Kenyan didn't take place. You could back out. Okay. I'm not a lawyer, but I try. Yeah. I know all that, but you could back out. I asked many, many people. What? I understand. Whatever you say. So fine. You know what? Let's agree to the following. If. Excuse me?
When you buy a house,
right.
You have 10 days to back out. When will you pay the house?
If you made the legal transaction, I could hear you kind of then. But on eBay, the pshat is you didn't pick it up. You don't know. You have to first, you get a letter in the mail. We accepted your bid. There's more than just, you know, the eBay. The Shabbos thing is not in itself. Let me just conclude with the following. Let's be very clear. Answering machine and vending machines don't seem to be a real problem besides the Etzem Shaila. Website also, if there's no transfer of funds, it also doesn't seem to be a very serious issue. Lottery doesn't seem to be a serious issue. eBay, probably, if you understand it as the finalization of a kinyan, that would be Rabbi Akiva Eger's objection. But we have to understand, Rabbi, say one thing, before we just are so quick to be mata this, there is always a very real issue of Lifnei Iva. And I'm going to give you an illustration. I spoke to a lot of people about this. One person, this is his forte. He majored in this. This is his panosa, and this is his expertise. This is his brain. Him and websites, were like, you know, they were born, you know, that's his mazel, so to speak. And I was talking to him, Stam, and he says, you know, by the way, I want to tell you something interesting, he tells me. I have a side job, so a hobby. His grandpa was a big rav, and because he works day and night with internet, he decided to put his grandfather's Torah on the internet. I'm not trying to be mazalzan, but in his own words, in his own admission, he's the least popular website that exists. In other words, most people have thousands of hits throughout the week. He told me he has approximately 200 hits per week. Which sounds like a lot, but 200 is very, very, very poor. And he says, you won't believe it, but he told me on Shabbos, there's usually an average of 20 people visiting his site. Now he's offering a hoicha Torah from his grandfather, and 20 people coming to it. So I right away became a baditshiva. I says, what are you talking about? It's people from a different time zone, from Eretz Yisrael, like, says, nothing doing. He says, I could trace it to the block, because he knows, to the block where it comes from. And it's not from Australia, it's not from Eretz Yisrael, it's from our brothers and sisters in America. So just the concept that your machine is causing a yid to do malacha on Shabbos is frightening. We could be matam at Mekachamemke and Kenyan and all the lumdis, but this is our Shabbos, this is our Eibishta, this is our Yiddishkeit. Are we going to say it's mutter and forget about everything else? How many people know that if they have a website on, Yidin visit the website on Shabbos? Are you going to say, well, this is not me, they'll do it anyhow, they're anyhow Mechal Shabbos? Rav Moshe writes, if in a shaila someone asked him, he wanted a Mekar of Yidin, and he wanted to make a minion on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says, you're a Meis Zumadiyah, besides if Naiva, causing a Yid to Mechal Shabbos Meis Zumadiyah. Are you going to say, so what else are they going to do? That's not your business. Here they're going to sit home, watch television, and eat tarfas. They come to me, they're going to drive once, they're going to keep Shabbos. Rav Moshe was emphatic and adamant not to allow it. Meis Zumadiyah. So I don't know how to deal with that very, very problem, big problem of Lifnei Iva. He's on Mechal Shabbos anyhow, but now he's doing because of you. And then we have what Rav Moshe feels is a major problem in this whole subject. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, you have it in front of you, Chelek Dalet and Arachayim, Simen Samach. Rav Moshe had a question about the whole concept of a Shabbos clocks. So Rav Moshe first said that he objects to Shabbos clocks because of Amiri La'akum. Now, Rav Moshe, I want to be magnum something. Rav Moshe is said about himself, Ich ken nicht trachten. This is, you know, Rav Moshe, this is Rav Moshe's whole philosophy in halacha. This is mutter. If it's mutter, I'm going to say it's mutter. I can't make my own isurim. Rav Moshe sometimes issued psakim that were very controversial, because that was Rav Moshe. If it's mutter, it's mutter. He wasn't afraid to say mutter, mutter. This is totally out of character when Rav Moshe asked using Shabbos clocks on Shabbos. And he says it's not a heritage, not a feeling. It's the regular Issamir La'akum. Because if you allow your machinery to do malacha, there won't be a Shabbos in your home. You could set up the washer dryer, the dishwasher. You could hear the Daf Yomi shir. You could put it on. You could hear it. The whole Shabbos is lost. And then Rav Moshe said, "I have another problem." And there's an issa of shvisas kelim. Now shvisas kelim is a heta. What does that mean in issa? So Rav Moshe proves very conclusively, the same Gemara says that you're not allowed to allow your the rechayim, the mill, to grind wheat on Shabbos. Why? Fregdimar, why is that different than the regular Shvisas Kalim? Zokti Gemara and Shabbos Yudchas, you have it in front of you. Because the Zilus of the Shabbos, it's a Zilzul Shabbos that things are taking place in your Rishus on Shabbos. In other words, the chon cooking on Shabbos is not a problem. But a loud noise, a whole commotion, that things are taking place on Shabbos, is Zilzul Shabbos. Azay Zokim Moshe. He doesn't just say it is my feeling. He feels this is an chelik of Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim is mutter. Zilzul Shabbos is asa. Zokter Moshe, our case of a Shabbos clock is Zilzul Shabbos. The lights go on, the lights go off. Everything is doing on Shabbos. Now, the truth is, we are makel with Shabbos clocks. I wish I knew exactly why, but we are makel. But to start allowing business to take place on Shabbos, a person has to have very good vision to take the achrayas. You know, there's a Meridik Tshuva of the Chalkis Yankov, you have it in front of you. The Chalkis Yankov was written over 40 years ago. And they asked him about an answering machine, a simple, harmless, innocent answering machine. So he proves conclusively it's mutter, it's shvisas kelim. And then he adds, and I quote, Al zeh nema chachamim hisharu b'divreichem. Because the technology is advancing so rapidly, and this is the way he says it. Before long, there will be a time you could set up a store that works fully automatically, that the store could sell on Shabbos, completely on Shabbos, by fully automated. Is that what Shabbos is supposed to be? That can't be. So if you want to be Matan Antimshin, it's okay. But be careful you don't lose the Shabbos. Rabbi say, we see that in our times. We see this concept that a person could do business on Shabbos. We could be Mate Kinyan, Mekechu, Memka. We could be Mate everything. But we can't be Mate the Halakha Shabbos. You know, I always think my Zayda, like many of your grandfathers, came to this country in the early 1900s and literally was my Senefesh for Shabbos. My grandfather left his job. If you don't come back Saturday, don't come Sunday. And he was equal to the challenge, and he didn't come Saturday, and he didn't have what to eat on Sunday. I know a Yidid, but he told us once, he was an older Yid already, he went to his children's sukkah, his son and his grandchildren's sukkah. And as you know, the American sukkahs, it was so beautiful, with such beautiful noi sukkah. And he looked up and he said, ah, it's a beautiful sukkah. My father had even nicer noi sukkah. And the children, of course, were offended. Nicer than ours. I mean, you know how many colors? You know how many different designs? Zaidi, what did your grandfather have that was nicer than ours? He had a pink slip. Pink slip? He says, my father used to take a job. And you don't come in Saturday. Don't come in Sunday. So they gave him on Sunday his honorable pink slip. And he used to put that up in the sukkah. And that was his nice sukkah. Isn't that nicer than your noi sukkah? And then I start thinking, what would this Yid say to our Shaila? That a person could operate fully on Shabbos? A Yid asked me a few months ago, he has a business that's fully goyish clientele. There's no Yidin whatsoever. If he could keep on his website, I told him the truth is, I think you're allowed to. Fine. Came back to me a few weeks ago, he said he stopped doing it. I said, what happened? Because That past Shabbos, his son, 11-year-old son, came over to him and said, Tati, how many coats did you sell on Shabbos? So the child understood that, yeah, there's no Kenyan, Mechamemka, and Zichar Shabbos, all the alumnus, but his 11-year-old child perceived in that selling on Shabbos. I want to be very clear, I don't want to mislead anybody. Lahalacha, it's hard to ask internets, and even websites, Yiddish Geld, is not hefka. I can't say us if I believe it's really mutter. But we have to understand something. We could be matter this, or we could be matter that, but we can't lose the Shabbos. Bitzad echad, we're talking about Yiddish geld, and you can't be zals on Yiddish geld. But we have to have a little of a broader vision to see what's going on. Who doesn't know? It's such a Kiddush Hashem, one of the biggest companies in Manhattan. They closed their website on Shabbos. I forgot the name already. B&H, that's right, B&H. It's an awesome Kiddush Hashem, and I don't know if I could tell them to do that, but I'm a kind of the chelik in Kiddush Hashem. It's very hard for me to say mutter asa, but I just want to conclude with a beautiful story, something to think about. The Tiyadua, there was a Yid, Ab Yisrael. Thank you. Oh, I left out part of it. I don't mind going on, but it's late already. I'll say it quickly. Okay, I wanted to end by quoting after. The faxes to Eretz Yisrael, I was going to leave that out, but thank you. Faxes to Eretz Yisrael, people asked about faxing to Eretz Yisrael. Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, and I'm faxing to Eretz Yisrael. Is that a problem? Now, why should it be a problem? Right now, here is Erev Shabbos. The answer is simple, because my fax does malacha on a place where it's Shabbos. Is that a problem or not? The fact that I'm standing here and it's Erev Shabbos, but my malacha reaches all the way in Eretz Yisrael where it's Shabbos, is that Chilul Shabbos or not? So you're wondering, what kind of shaila is that? It's a big shaila. I'm doing malacha in Eretz Yisrael. But then again, where you doing malacha? You do malacha here. And this, Rabbi Isai, is another application of Shvisas Kalim. It's the same lamdas. Erev Shabbos, I'm doing something here, which happens to go almost automatically to Eretz Yisrael. But that's of no consequence to me, because I'm doing it Erev Shabbos. And for me, it's not Shabbos. In other words, there was a time, people had this shaila, they came from England to America on a Concorde. I know someone that had this shaila. He left after Shabbos in England. He flew to America, and he flew into Shabbos. When he came to America, it was Shabbos. It was a common scenario with the Concorde. Does he have to keep Shabbos? That is much worse, because his body is in a place where it's Shabbos. So it's not like taxes. You pay your taxes and you're finished. If it's Shabbos and you're in a place where it's Shabbos, it's a problem. This is much better. Here, you're doing malacha with Erev Shabbos. Your malacha reaches Shabbos to a place where it's Shabbos, so what? Theoretically, if you had a long string in your hand, in America, here, right here in the Sheldrick dorms, Friday afternoon, and you pulled the string, and it's a very long string, it puts on the light in your Shalayan apartment on Shabbos. Is that Chilul Shabbos? Of course not, right? You can't be Mechalel Shabbos if it's Friday. The malacha undoubtedly took place on Shabbos. That's not a problem. What's more of an issue, let's say you have a Goyisha worker. And you call him to the Orient, Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is, you have an Arab worker. You call him on Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, and tell him, please take care of this and this. Is that worse? Because for the Goy, it's Shabbos. But for you, it's Erev Shabbos. How do we define that question? So that deposing day is also not a problem. Because there's no chiyah for the Goy to keep Shabbos. The Goy has to keep Shabbos. Goy Shabbos chayav Misa. It's only I have to not tell a Goy to do Malacha for me on Shabbos. So why is it Tali in him? It's Tali in me. All the reasons of Shabbos, Kalabin, Echashlichas, all three reasons, Abadava, depend where the Yid is. Interestingly enough, the only question is if you have a behema. Shvisa's behema could be worse. Because that's totally in the behema. That the poiskim say. But let me just conclude, Rabbi Yisrael, what I wanted to say earlier. The Yisrael Isselis was a Yid that lived a few hundred years ago. He had an interesting minig. After Chatzos Erev Shabbos, he would no longer do any business. That was his mentality. That's why he looked at Shabbos. He wants to be ready for Shabbos. The story is told that someone came to him with a lucrative business offer, talking about a big, big sum of money. And he began early Friday morning, but it dragged on, and he looks at his watch. I'm sorry, it's Chatzos, I have to stop. And the guy was dumbfounded. You're talking about a big, well, a few more minutes, I'm going to finish. I'm sorry, after Chatzos, I don't talk business. And he lost the business to him. And he lost a big, big deal. We have a Messiah that he gained something even more, much more beneficial. He gained the son of Moshe Isselis, and enlightened the world, the Ramah, the Heilige Ramah, that Bnei Yisrael, Yoytzim B'Yad Ramah. This is a question that has to be dealt with very carefully. Should we allow this to be mutter? Who knows before long if a Chalila we could lose the Shabbos? The Ikki is we should be shame the Shabbos and appreciate the Shabbos and see that Shabbos is our Makar of our Bracha. Thank you very much.